The Executive Chair on News Talk.
So, it's Executive Chair time and it's great to welcome Peter Hyland. He's the Group CEO of Carol's Irish Gifts Retail and Property. Peter, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thanks, Bobby.
Now, nice to talk to you. I've met you before, but maybe we're going to go along your career journey. You grew up in Old Bourne in Talla, and as you say, you were from a household, a working class household, where your dad was a painter decorator and your mum worked for Dublin City Council.
Yeah.
So you saw maybe both sides of being self-employed and being a public servant. You could see both sides of the equation.
Yeah, definitely. So, like, very down-to-earth, hard-working family. As I mentioned, Mam worked in Dublin City Council. Dad was a self-employed painter. So we did see both sides of that coin, the security of the public sector job and the challenges that exist of running a small business. But my parents worked extremely hard, so they passed that work ethic onto my brothers and I. Yeah,
yeah, and one of your earlier jobs then was you went out and got yourself a job working in the Plaza Hotel.
I did, yeah.
And that sort of brought you on a hospitality journey.
Yeah, so my mum and dad were away, actually. I went for the interview in the Plaza Hotel and I started there at 15 and I loved every minute of it. The pace, the independence, and basically I've been in service businesses ever since.
Yeah. You went, you studied in DIT, Carl Brew Street. Part of that work experience otherwise brought you to the kitchen in Rowley's. Could you have ended up in as a culinary man or as a chef?
I could have. I loved it. Still a passion of mine today. Love cooking. But as I mentioned, I went to DIT Calvert Street. At the time, I was working with Prem Group. That was right through the recession across hotel operations and head office. And the pressure of that period really nudged me towards accountancy. So it sharpened my sense of like how decisions happen on the floor can really show up in numbers really quickly.
Tell me about, because I always admire anybody who's in a busy job, such as you were at that time with the Prem Group, having that, you know, extra drive to actually study at night, study at the weekends, and still hold down a busy job.
Yeah.
Now, you obviously say it was well worthwhile, but, you know, a lot of people don't make it to the other side of that. And I just think it's wonderful. You know, it just shows tenacity at another level.
Yeah, it was very tough.
Yeah.
It was weekends, it was nights. And like you say, Prem obviously supported me through that piece, but it was challenging. And I remember at the time when Prem Group were managing hotels during that recession, it was the accountants at that table that were making those decisions. And I obviously had an ambition in my career. And in order to get to that stage, I realised very quickly that numbers was my route to that.
Yeah. And we always comfortable with the numbers.
Yeah,
You're a numbers man.
Yeah, I like numbers. Yeah, yeah, I was good at numbers at school. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
And you left Prem Group then, and you arrived in DID as a part qualified accountant, but you left there as a director of finance and commercial. So, you tell us about your journey there.
Yeah, it was great. Fantastic business. It taught me a huge amount about retail. It's a very competitive sector with low margins. And I worked there for about 8 years. And I got a real insight into family business as well, because obviously at the time it was owned by the Hoolan family. But amazing insight. And in that small business, I developed and grew into that role of finance and commercial.
Yeah. So
at that stage, I joined Carol's. Yeah.
Yeah. So the learnings of 8 years, though, like 8 years is quite a period.
Yeah.
And you obviously did, because you got promoted within the business, you ended up doing a few different jobs over that eight years.
Yeah. So I was not only was a finance director, but I was the commercial director as well. So which meant I was looking at the buying, looking at supporting the buyers, supporting retail operations, and just really supporting the business through numbers and data.
Yeah. And those 8 years were when? Were they good times or bad?
Both.
Yeah.
Both. They were really
so you
both.
Were there for the recession too?
Yeah, for coming out of the recession into good times. But during that period, you would have had really significant PLCs and operators coming into the market. You had Harvey Norman, you had Currys. So it was a really challenging sector.
Yeah. And that business has since been sold.
It has indeed. Yeah, that's right.
So when you started in Carl's in 2018,
yep.
Give us your thoughts about what did you expect and what did the job end up like?
Like, being from Dublin, I knew of Carl's. And I remember I met Colm in the city.
That's Colm Carl.
Colm Carl, the founder. And I met him in the city and I was really taken aback by him, taken aback by the ambition of the business and taken aback of the scale of Carl's. There was nothing broken with that business at the time. Absolutely nothing broken. It was a fantastic business. But since, we've had a lot of bumps. We've had a lot of bumps in the road, like COVID, inflationary pressures. We've had airport caps. And now we're looking at a war in Iran and the strait being closed, yeah. Which is another cause of concern.
So the relationship that the business has with our tourist economy,
yep.
is very important. So the more, in simple terms, the more tourists that we have, the more business you're going to do. So that, as you say, is looking potentially challenging as we sit here this morning.
Yeah, we're naturally exposed to geopolitical risks like the war, supply chain, jet fuel shortages, which could happen in the summer. But look, Europeans, I think, will travel. There's a shorter window for Europeans to book. Dublin has to remain competitive because it is that European destination market is very competitive. So we need to be mindful of value and perception. In terms of the American audience, I think those that have booked will travel, but will likely spend less. And certainly those thinking of booking in Q3, Q4 and Q1 next year, they're going to pause.
Which means that if to follow through on your predictions, the back end of this year could be quite tough.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be challenging, yeah.
Yeah. And that's even with the assumption that things might sort themselves out.
Yes, absolutely.
In the Middle East, etc.
Yeah.
That is interesting. Tell me about the transition from souvenirs to high-end retail, or the aspiration to move from one place in a retail category to another. Where do you sit on that?
Yeah, look, I don't think we'll ever move away from our bread and butter. I think we're unashamedly proud to be a retailer that sells souvenirs. If I take you back on the transformation, what you're referring to, that journey, it kind of came post-COVID. So when COVID happened, our customer, like you mentioned, disappeared overnight. And we had an option to reopen that business post-COVID gradually, but reopen it with a lens of what tomorrow's customer is looking for. So we did that. We opened up our stores. And then what followed on from that a year later was we introduced a 3-year plan. And that was really to invest in the foundations of the business. That was to invest in our people. And I'm delighted to say we're now certified Great Place to Work for the last 2 years. It was to invest in our systems. And that was to look at introduce of like a suite of Microsoft products. But also our infrastructure. So in that 3 years, we opened 5 stores and we also bought our new support office and warehouse out in Fonthill, a 40,000 square foot space. So that led us nicely onto the launch of what we're doing at the moment, which is a 5-year plan, which is what you're mentioning there about that transition.
So how many stores have you now?
We have 20 stores.
Yeah,
20 stores. We employ 370 colleagues. And our 5-year strategy started in January. And that aim is to roughly double the size of the business.
Wow. What about the online portion of the business? How has that performed? Or do you end up kind of competing with yourself at one level? Do you have to stock different products online versus in store?
Yeah.
Just how do you balance all that?
Yeah, it's a different customer. So your online customer is traditionally that expat customer. So over in the US particularly. The challenge we have in that is the likes of the tariffs that were introduced, and that's a knock-on effect. That's a straight cost increase to the consumer, to the end user. So we have a couple of sites now live. So we've got an American site. We've got a new business called Scholta Hamper Business as well that looks after B2B. So overall, our online business is roughly running about 12% of our overall.
Is that right?
Yep.
Okay, I thought it'd be higher. Interesting that you have an American online business. How does that work?
Good. Yeah. I mean, it's, again, the range is slightly different. So our American audience likes knitwear, likes Irish jewelries, like Irish food. Where our stores, while we sell that in our Irish stores today, they're looking for more gifting items.
Right. And sourcing products then?
Yeah, I'm delighted. So one of our proudest moments is that over 80% of our purchases are to an Irish business. So we're going to launch an initiative called Falsha. So Falcha is an initiative that we launched this month where we look at supporting Irish entrepreneurs and startup businesses. At its heart, it's a €50,000 support package and a direct pathway onto our shelves with strong in-store presence. So the winner will receive that package.
Okay, so you've a bounty out there.
Yeah, we do.
To bring Irish business onto your shelves.
Yeah.
Well done.
Thank you.
All right, Peter, that's Peter Hyland there. He's the group CEO with Carol's Irish Gifts Retail.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Sponsored by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 8. News Talk. Conversation that counts.